up a scripture, guys, back in the back, Isaiah 43, 18 to 19. We talked about a couple weeks ago for 2 weeks in a row on church. Isaiah 43, 18 to 19. You remember, it says, "Do not remember the former things." Come on. "Nor consider the things of old. Behold," stop, gaze, draw your attention on this. "Behold, I will do a new thing." Now, come on, somebody yell, now. "Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it?" Something about praising and worshiping causes your attention to be drawn to Him and causes you to know some things you might not have known before, or maybe you forgot some things you should have kept remembering about. "Shall you not know it?" Man, look what He says. "I'm going to make a road in the wilderness and rivers of refreshing in your desert." Come on, everybody. Let's shout unto God for that tonight. Come on, let Him hear you tonight about that. Yeah! You're doing it tonight, oh God. We look to You. We look to You. Oh, Lord God, we refuse to remember. Do not remember. Come on. Do not remember the negative, critical, damning, damaging things that have happened. Do not remember all the no's, all the never going to happen. It's over, it's through, it's complete. Do not remember the former things. Don't even consider. Don't even consider old things that have happened. It's a new day. It's a new season. It's a new season. It's a new season. I prophesy to you tonight. It's a new season. It's a new season. Listen, it's a new season. And in a new season, there's always new promises that God brings to your mind. Maybe they were old, maybe you knew them back then, but they've kind of got a little bit stale. But every time you come back to the Word, go back. I challenge you. I just hear the Holy Ghost saying this. I challenge you to go back to the words that He gave you before, because they'll be new in this season. They'll be renewed for you in this season. They'll come with new power, new strength. They'll come with new anointing. They'll come with new revelation because you're in a different spot. You've matured. You've grown. You've been through some more battles. You've aged. You've endured hardness. So those promises that worked then, come on, they're going to be new today, and you're going to hear something new. You're going to see something new, and you're going to walk in something new. You're going to walk in something new. You're going to walk in something new. So come on up higher, I hear the Holy Ghost say. Come up higher. It's time to climb. It's time to go higher. It's time to train at a higher altitude. It's time to get higher, because God wants you to see farther. He wants you to see farther. And it's not just for you, but He's looking for you to be a watchman, not just for your own self, but for a watchman for a wall, a watchman for your house, a watchman for others, believers in the church, a watchman for places that God's called you to see so you can pray and stand against things, not only for your own life, but for other people, churches, situations, ministries, ministers as well. God will have you standing and seeing and saying and watching in areas that you haven't stood and seen and watched and said before. But rise up, rise up, rise up and climb the mountain. Climb the mountain. Climb the mountain of the Lord. That means not works. That just means time. For me included, time, extra time. Allowing the Spirit of God to speak to you, work in you, talk to you, so that you can be used in this hour. "Use me," we cry. "Use me, use me." And yet when the Spirit urges and pushes and touches us sometimes, sometimes we resist. So I submit to you, the Spirit of God is saying, "Draw near to me, for I have drawn near to you. Come to me, for I have come to you. Walk with me, for I have walked with you. And am walking with you." Rise up in the morning, and let praise be on your mind and on your heart and in your mouth and in your attention. Rise up at the noonday hour, and let praise be on your mouth and your heart and in your attention. Rise up in the nighttime, and let praise be on your heart and in your mouth and in your attention. And you'll see things that you have not seen. And times where other ministers maybe have prophesied to you, and it's been a season of where it's kind of things have happened and maybe some other things haven't come to pass, this will be a time where you don't consider what has not happened and you don't remember what has not happened, but this will be a time and a season where new things begin to happen. It's happening right now. The prophet said, shall you not know it? Shall you not know it? Shall you not know it? And the answer for us is, yes, I will know it. Yes, come on, say that. Yes, I will know it. Yes, come on, just take that for yourself. Yes, I'm going to know it. I lay hold of my inheritance. I lay hold of the things of God. I lay hold of revelation. I lay hold of the things of the Spirit tonight. I lay hold. I lay hold. I lay hold. I lay hold. I lay hold tonight. Praise God. Well, glory to God. Glory to God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You got something you want to say? Okay. Praise the Lord. Well, come on, just turn around and say hey to somebody. Give somebody a hug. Give them a handshake. Tell them something nice tonight. Tim, you look marvelous. Come on, you look really good. Huh? Ezra chapter 4. I want to talk tonight for a few minutes about staying true to your purpose. Several weeks ago, in anticipation of the service tonight, probably a month ago, maybe 6 weeks ago, I just got up in the morning praying, and this just kind of went off in me, and I knew it was the right time and the season that we should just share some stuff about this tonight, and so here we are. Never really shared these scriptures in the connection that they are tonight, so we're just going to try this out on you, and we know you'll like it because it's the Word of God. Y'all are just hungry for the Word of God. Ezra chapter 4, let's talk about it. Stay true to your purpose. We'll give you just some different thoughts about this, about your purpose tonight, and we believe that you'll be bettered at the end of the night. Ezra, notice what it says. Now the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the descendants of the captivity were building the temple of the Lord God of Israel. They came to Zerubbabel and the heads of the fathers' houses, and they said to them, let us build with you, for we seek your God as you do. And we have sacrificed to him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Assyria, who brought us here. But Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the heads of the fathers' houses of Israel said to them, you may do nothing with us to build a house for our God, but we alone will build to the Lord God of Israel as King Cyrus and the king of Persia has commanded us. Then the people of the land tried to discourage the people of Judah. They troubled them in building and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even until the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Interesting that Ezra, he's called by God, and God's got a specific purpose for his life in rallying the people and coming to rebuild that which was wrong, that which was left desolate for years. And even though that he's got God's okay, he's got God's call, he's got God's assignment, and he's also got a natural assignment. He's got a natural okay from the king, it says here, King Cyrus. But yet when they went to actually start doing what God called them to do, there was resistance. There was resistance. I think so many times that we think if there's a purpose of God that God gives us as a call, if it's a ministry, if God lays something for business on us, if it's to start something, to be involved in school, and there's all of a sudden a little pocket of resistance, and the pocket of resistance can be large or it can be big, or small, I should say, no matter what it is, somehow most people I come in contact with think that means God's backed off, or what I thought he wanted me to do really isn't what he wants me to do, and the season might not be right. Listen to me, anytime you're going to do anything for God, there's always going to be adversity. Anytime, anywhere, any place you take a stand, there is always going to be someone called the enemy, some demonic force working through natural means. Notice again, these people are coming to do a God thing, rebuild the temple, and the enemy works through natural human beings. Our fight is not against flesh and blood, Ephesians 6 says, but come on, we know that what's going on is the fight behind what we see, but there's going to be a fight. There's always going to be. Every day you get up, you got to be ready to fight. Not fight flesh and blood, but fight what's motivating flesh and blood. Principalities and powers, wickedness in heavenly places. Right, everybody? So, you know, just the background here a little bit, that these guys come and you read it and you kind of go, what the heck? There must be something going on behind the scenes that I'm not quite familiar with here, and not to take too much time getting into it, but if someone came to me and said, you know, hey, let's just say, Pastor Gary, hey, we heard that y'all are going to expand the church and y'all going to build, you know, a 600-seat auditorium right out here. And we want to come to help you. You know, your natural response would be come and help. Shoot, yeah, we could take carpenters and bricklayers and electricians and architects and plasterers. And sure, come and help us. These guys wanted to help. But to notice what they said, they said, you are not going to help us. You are not going to help us. And that ticked them off. And when they said, you're not going to help us, that's when they hired the counselors to come and begin to frustrate their plans. Here's behind the scenes. They bragged about this group of people, bragged about serving Jehovah like them, and a priest had been sent to their city years before, but they didn't know Jehovah. Listen to me. They feared God, but they served their own gods. They feared God, but they served their own gods. One more time. They feared God, but they served their own gods. And so what the group here, Ezra and the gang here, said is that, listen to me, you might have a knowledge of God, you might have some kind of inkling of that, but we don't want you messing with what God's called us to do. The most dangerous people I find to be around believers are people that know God but never obey God. People that know God, people that have been around God but never obey God. So when you ever begin to move forward in your walk with God, and when you ever talk, you know, even moving on age, any type of new season, even I think the Spirit of God's saying tonight to us, a new season, a new door, new opportunity, and to take promises from the past and rehash them again because God wants us to come up higher. Can I tell you something? Based on what I know tonight from the Word, there's going to be opposition. There's going to be opposition. And don't get frustrated with opposition. And don't think, well, I wonder if that was really a word for God. Or, I wonder. So the devil will always try to oppose your purpose. Listen to me. Look on the screen. Your job is to not let your purpose get frustrated. Your job is to not let your purpose get frustrated. Notice they troubled them in building, it says. They hired counselors against them to frustrate. Come on, somebody say frustrate. Frustrate their purpose. Your job, that is your main job. Do not let the purpose that God's called you to do, the purpose in many different areas, but to become frustrated with it, to become discouraged with it, to become despondent with it, to quit with it, to back off it. Do not let that happen in your life. And I do know this. God will it seems like to allow us to grow. It didn't happen here. He didn't stop. He did not stop the voice to come to Ezra and the gang. He didn't put a wall between them and Ezra. He allowed this voice to come in. Again, this is a testing time, I think, that God sees if you believe what He's really called you to. And so these people, they just said, no, you don't believe like we believe. You're not going to be part of what we're here. And so they said, okay, we're going to frustrate your purpose. Not just today, but it says here, all the days while they were building. All the days, you wake up and you think, what am I going to get tomorrow? Frustration. Who's going to be there tomorrow? That same picketer out there, he's going to be there again. And he's going to try to mess with me and mess with the people that God's called me to do. Again, the adversaries were there, it says, through reign of two kings. Through two kings. So my question for you, question for me, is how long can you last? How long can you last? I don't know what the stat is right now, so forgive me for kind of going off the cuff, but the statistics for people in my, quote, profession, ministers, is alarmingly low from those who start in ministry that they actually finish their career in ministry. Retire, quote, you know, whatever age that would be. Extremely low. And so I want to encourage you tonight that it's really not a big deal to begin, but it's a huge deal to finish. It's huge. It's huge. Anybody can begin anything, right? But now what are we going to do? We're going to see it through, because all the time it says here, through two kings, there was frustration, there was counselors, there was discouragement. It was almost like they were finding new ways to try to make these people quit, new ways to try to damage what God was trying to do. And it wasn't just about them, it was building this temple. So again, no matter what you do in your life when you're trying to build anything, there will always be counselors that try to come in and tell you it can't be done. And then there will be some that try to come into your life and tell you how to do it, even though they've done nothing with their lives. And so I want to encourage you, those Christians or those little God's helpers that try to come in your life and try to tell you what to do and have never done nothing themselves, you need to shut your ears to their voice. Your purpose has to be greater than your frustration. Your purpose has to be greater than your frustration. A phrase that I've said before that Pastor Diego Mesa said, and when I think the very first time he came here, began to talk about his battle and what he'd gone through and all that stuff, is that, you know, with dealing with cancer, stage 4 kidney cancer that he had, and how God brought him through that whole thing, is that he said this. He said, "You've got to be tougher than your toughest day. You just have to make up your mind. I'm going to be tougher than my toughest day. I'm going to believe God. I'm going to get up. I'm going to trust God again. I'm going to stay true to the purpose that God's called me. I'm going to stay true to the Word of God. I'm going to stay true to relationships. I'm going to stay true to the Spirit of God. I'm not going to allow anything, whether I see something or hear something, or no matter how much it's coming against me, I'm going to keep aligning myself with my divine purpose." Can you say amen? If you're married, husbands and wives, there's going to be seasons in your life. Seasons in your life. You're going to have to stay true to your purpose. Some of you are in relationships and you're with marriages and with family members, and there's just so much crazy in-law, outlaw stuff going on with relatives that just kind of muddies your whole relationship. You've got to stay true to the one that you married. Even in marriages, there's purpose for that course, that husband-wife relationship, and then there's old friends that try to come in, and there's new acquaintances on Facebook that try to come in and try to do things and frustrate the purpose of marriage in your life. You've got to stay true to the call and the commitment that you made to that spouse. Moms with small kids and parents and teenagers with parents, we just got to stay true to the purpose of family. Stay true to the purpose of raising godly children. Stay true to the purpose of respect and honor and love and serving in the home. Yet it seems foreign in our generation. Purpose of God for your work and for you controlling the environment of where you work. And even though there's things that happen where layoffs and all kind of things, and it's like, what am I called to do, and my finances and my responsibilities, and yet the purpose of God for you to be a man of God, a woman of God, a person of integrity, a person of truth, a person of character, a person when you say something, you mean it and you do it. And all these different purposes try to, frustration tries to come and discouragement comes in, and maybe some pain and some angst where you just want to run away. And God says, you need to be true to the purpose that I've called you to.
When it comes to church, you got to be true to the purpose of the church. You got to stay true to the purpose of the church. And for you, an involvement, and attendance, and giving, and serving, and praying, and just sharing, and circle groups, and being a part of the fabric of the church. And it's really interesting when you get a piece of cloth, or you get maybe a piece of clothing, and it's maybe women, you know, maybe more so than us guys, because we can pretty much wear anything and be okay with it. But women put on a pretty dress, and you see a dress, and it's gorgeous, and maybe it's the knockout killer dress that you're buying for your daughter's, you know, wedding or the quince or something, and it's beautiful. It's hundreds and hundreds of dollars. I mean, the mom-in-law is $500, $300, $600 dress, and to celebrate this festive occasion, and it's beautiful. But you look down, and it's just got one little thing out. It's just got one little stitch. It's got, and that's all you see. The fabric is gorgeous. The shine, the fit is perfect, but it's just got that, and that's all you can focus on. I think that's so many times with church, is that we're called to be a body and mended and meshed together and knit together, the Bible says, which every joint supplies. Come on, you hear me tonight? And yet when something is out of joint, when something gets a catch, it's like, that's out of joint. It needs to be fixed. It needs to be mended. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be that person that's my purpose and I've kind of gotten hung up on something. Come on. I got hung up on something. I got hung up on worship. I got hung up on some lights. I got hung up on they don't like me. I got hung up on my own thing, and I got a little snare. So now the perfect thing just doesn't look quite perfect. Let's all get our purpose realigned. Come on, everybody. Come on, can you say a better amen in here? Don't let anything frustrate your purpose. Stay true to your purpose. Daniel chapter 6, verse 17. You know the story about Daniel and the lion's den. We talk about it in kids' ministry. But notice what it says here. It says the king really didn't, you know the story. The king, he got tricked into signing the law. And man, you signed the law, and that's just the way, you can't reverse the law. And so they threw Daniel in the lion's den and put the big stone up there. But notice what it says. A stone was brought and laid in the mouth of the den, verse 17. And the king sealed it with his own signet ring. He sealed it with his ring and with the signets of his lords. And that the purpose, come on, say the purpose. That the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. So they threw him in that lion's den. They rolled that stone up there, and then evidently they put wax around the seal, and the king sealed his signet, and the other lords, either with their medallion or else their ring too, they sealed their ring on it, on the wax, so that the stone was completely sealed. It wasn't going to be open. Nobody could break through, and nobody could break out. And it says here that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. And there's so many people, maybe even here tonight, that we go through life and we just kind of throw up our hands and we worship, you know, on a Sunday, and we look to you, whatever comes our way, we look to you, you never turn away. But I just don't quite know if your purpose is still going to work right here, right now. Because it seems like there's been a seal against whatever that is out there that I believe God's will and purpose is for my life, and I can't get it, or it's too far away from me. And yet amazing, 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 even though the purpose of man had a stamp and had a seal, it could not change the purpose of God. The purpose of God was that Daniel was going to be kept, Daniel was going to be protected, Daniel was going to be delivered. So I don't know what it looks like for you tonight, but can I tell you, even though that you might be bedding down with some lions, God is right up there in the middle of your business tonight. So don't look at what's happening. Don't look at what's not happening. Don't look at who's around you, who's not around you. If God be for me, who can be against me? Mark 1, look real quick. Mark 1, verse 35 through 38. It'll be alright tonight? Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, this is Jesus, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. And Simon It says, and those who were with him searched for him. Simon Peter, right? And everybody that was with him searched for him. And they found him, verse 37. They found him. And they said, everyone is looking for you. But he said to them, let us go, Jesus said, let us go to the next towns that I may preach there also. Because for this purpose, come on, yell, for this purpose, I have come forth. For this purpose, I have come forth. Now, you might think about it. I'm the kind of guy that I like to go where people like me. Right? Go where you're celebrated, not tolerated, right? And so Jesus, he said, man, you know, they come and say, hey, Jesus, you know, he was up there praying. And then they found him. Peter found him, and the guys found him. Everybody is looking for you. And I'm the kind of guy that goes, if they're looking for me, I'm looking for them. Wow, sounds good. You want me, I want you. But that's not what he says. Look what he says. Go to the next towns that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come forth. How many of you think that there might have been something that Jesus might have heard while he was up on that mountain that realigned him to purpose? Come on, somebody. Listen to me. Purpose, not popularity. Purpose, not popularity. Purpose, not prestige. Purpose. What's your purpose? The crowd wants you back. Jesus says, I've been there. I need to go to some other towns. The crowd wanted him maybe to stay here. Come back, Pete says. Go back where they loved you. But Jesus knows his purpose. So a couple of thoughts. Don't let others determine your purpose. Don't let other people determine your purpose. Real easily, Jesus could have been swayed. He could have said, well, gosh, yeah, let's go back. You know, and again, you know, you take the whole Bible and you see that after Paul was on a missionary journey, he went back, the Bible says, to the places he went, and he was strengthening the disciples. Nothing wrong with going back and doing that. Only problem was, this was not Jesus' purpose for now. So even though it is okay for somebody else to do it, and that's their purpose, it might not be your purpose. So you need to spend time and climb the mountain, what it says in verse 35, and be solitary and get alone with God so that you know what you're called to do and what the purpose for your life really is. If you don't know the purpose for your life, you're going to be misled by well-intended friends. What do you want me to do? What do you think I should do? Back in the day, there were some people, when I say back in Bible school day and stuff, that's what I mean. And people would say, you know, well, has the Lord told you anything about me? All that, I need some help. I really can't hear God for myself. And I really need a word from somebody. Guys, leave all that alone. You're a child of God. You're called by God. You're anointed by God. You're an heir of God. You're a joint heir with Jesus. If God's going to speak to anybody, He's going to speak to you. God doesn't need to speak to through somebody to give you a word. Prophetic word, yeah, we do. I mean, listen, don't take everything I'm saying and say white and black. There's some middle ground. Do you understand what I'm saying? But you're not living your life off the word of somebody else and the purpose of somebody else. Your purpose, I really think that the behind the scenes here that we can see about Jesus is that, you know, go back or stay here with the people where you've just been. But Jesus is saying, really, that my purpose is to move forward. My purpose is to grow. My purpose is to take new territory. My purpose isn't to stay stagnant in this place. And listen to me, several of you probably tonight are just feeling stagnant. And I tell you, I hate feeling stagnant. If you've ever lived next to a pond, and I did for 5 years in New Jersey, we had a house that we had a little stream next to our house, and we had a pond. And in the summertime, the pond, all the fresh water that would come in would no longer come in. It dried up, and it would get stagnant. And when there's stagnant pond, it gets all that green, goopy algae stuff on top, and then dragonflies, and it smells, and it's terrible, and stagnation just stinks. So many in our life, we just kind of get to the place, and it's like, well, here's where I'm at. And it might not be too bad, and it might not be too good, but it's just kind of okay. But it's just not fresh. Fresh. I want to encourage you. Skim the top off your pond. Skim the scum off your life. Whatever that is. And allow fresh water from the Holy Spirit to come in your life. And don't stay where you're at. Move forward with God. Because if you'll move forward, there will be fresh word, there'll be fresh people, there'll be fresh things from the Spirit of God that He'll begin doing in your life. And you begin to see your purpose realigned again with His. Can you say amen? You know 1 John 3:8, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. He had a purpose, right? This is His purpose. What John says, He did lots of things. He preached, He taught, He healed. But the purpose was that He was manifest, that He might just destroy the works of the devil. He destroyed the works of the devil by preaching. He destroyed the works of the devil by teaching. He destroyed the works of the devil by healing the sick. He completely did that all the time. Amplified Bible says to loosen, undo, dissolve, and destroy the works the devil has done. So that was His purpose. And if Jesus had a purpose, again, you need to understand God has a purpose for your life, but you must stay true to it. Through the course of life, again, you know, it's interesting. I got on my bike, I bought some wheels that are carbon wheels. And they're very light and they're very strong. And I didn't know this about these carbon wheels, that what you have to do after you ride them so long, like you check your tires for, you know, see how it's wearing, and you got to make sure nothing's in it. And so, you know, you spin your tire, and you know, you're always just checking stuff when you stop and ride and all. And so I got my back tire, and I just, you know, I lifted up my saddle, and I just spun the tire, and I could see it. It's just not perfectly true. It's just got a little bit of not perfectly true. And so I talked to one of the guys. I said, man, dude, I just bought these, you know, probably, I don't know, you know, 4 months ago or something like that. I've been riding a lot, really been enjoying it, put a lot of miles on them. And he said, nothing's wrong with the tire, but what you have to do is you have to take it back to the shop and they have to re-true it. They put it on a machine and they just re-true the wheel. Nothing's wrong with the purpose. It's just gotten out of balance a little bit. But can I tell you, when I'm going downhill at 50 miles an hour downhill on my bike, I could feel it. And can I tell you, the slower your life, you might not feel it. But when you start picking up pace with God, you're going to feel things that are out of balance. Because God wants us to walk and run and soar. Come on, everybody. Let's get back to our purpose. Come on, real quick, just a few more scriptures. John 12:27. Jesus says this, my soul is troubled. And what shall I say? I love this verse. Father, save me from this hour? No. Come on, read it out. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. Save me from this hour. He knows the cross is coming. He knows difficulty is coming. He knows challenges are coming. But He just says, for this purpose, I've come to this hour. So when you know your purpose, no trouble can stand in your way. Not sufferings or challenges or adversity or pains or delays or seems like denials. So nothing can just stand in your way because you realize I have a purpose. Have a purpose for my life. Acts 2:22. Men of Israel, hear the words. Jesus of Nazareth, the man attested by God to you, by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through Him in your midst, as you yourselves know, Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you've taken by lawless hands and crucified, this is Peter preaching, and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that He should be held by it. I love this scripture. I've been reading it for years now, and I just love it. I love the last part. It just wasn't possible that he should be held by death itself. Come on, everybody. He had a purpose. Come on, he had a purpose. Even though it says here that God delivered Jesus up by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God. So it might look like some things in your life go, I didn't see this coming. But can I tell you, somebody did see it coming. God saw it coming. Come on, God's sovereign. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows it all going on. So no matter what you're going through, stay true to the purpose of God. Stay true to the call of God. Stay true to the Word of God. Stay true to the anointing of God. Stay true to the things that you know, and don't let any other purpose mess with the call of God on your life. Man, not even death itself. It's just amazing. No other purpose can override the purpose of God. I love it. Not even death itself. Paul talks about it. Not death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor power on earth. Nothing can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus my Lord. Why? I've got a purpose. So when Ezra was building the temple, the people tried to frustrate their purpose by hiring counselors and pressure them, and the people of the land, the neighbors, began speaking all these discouraging words to them. Again, through the course of 2 Kings, really the same thing we see happen with Nehemiah. When Nehemiah went building the wall, the Bible says that there was Sanballat and Tobiah and Gershom. These guys would come and they started saying, even if a fox comes on that wall, it'll tear the wall down. And they tried to discourage the people. They mocked them. They tried to come against them. Nehemiah got fed up with it. And Nehemiah said, here's what we're going to do, guys. I tell you what. Here's how we're going to work. We're going to work with a tool in one hand and a weapon in the other. We're not, the Bible says, they slept in their clothes. They didn't keep their weapons far from them. I tell you what, when you're on pace and you know a purpose of God has got to get finished, you better just keep your weapon close by, baby. You better have your Bible right by your bed. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. You better have some scriptures right there on your speed dial. I love what it says here, though, the thought. We'll close right here. That even with Ezra, even with Nehemiah, even with the mighty men of God here that we find out, that what others say or don't say can't stop you unless you let it. Notice, no matter what they said, it couldn't stop them unless they let it stop them. If you will not let what you hear, you will not let what you feel, you will not let what you experience stop you. You will not be stopped. Your purpose will not be stopped. Write down 4 scriptures real quick. Ephesians 3:11 says your life has an eternal purpose attached to it. Ephesians 3:11 says your life has an eternal purpose attached to it. Do you know it? Do you know what your eternal purpose is? Of course, it's heaven. Of course, it's being with Jesus. But I'm talking about the plan that God has for your life while you're on the earth. The second thought, in Romans 9:11. It says that the purpose of God is according to election it might stand. Notice the purpose of God is according to election that it might stand. In other words, you don't make your own purpose. You discover God's purpose. It's according to election. In other words, and before you were born, you'd go, I think I want to be a pastor. I think I want to be a doctor. I think I want to work in children's ministry. No. You don't get a choice. God chooses. And God says, this is what your purpose is. Will you follow me? And then rewards will be given or lost in heaven for what we do in our life while we're on the earth. It's according to election, His election. 2 Timothy 3:10, it says that we should be able to see and follow your purpose. Paul says, you've known my purpose, my faith, my love. You should be able to follow it. There should be something in your life, a purpose of your life, that we say, oh yeah, I get it, because look at them. They're doing this. It should be followable. Can we say it that way? Look at this scripture, and we'll just start praying here tonight. Come on, put your Bible down, put your pad down, or whatever. Stand up with me. Would you do it? Look at the scripture on the screen, Psalm 20, verse 7. Psalm 27, 20, verse 7. May He, the Lord God, grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. Father God, that's our prayer tonight. I pray in Jesus' name that every person here that is in the room tonight that listens to this online or by CD or other form of communication, I pray, O God, that You would grant each person according to their heart's desire and You would fulfill all the purpose that You have for their life. Father, I pray, not our will, but Your will be done. Come on, maybe pray that tonight right there. Not my will, Your will be done, O God. Not my desire, Your desire to be done tonight. Father, we pray as Mary prayed and said to the angel Gabriel, let it be to me according to Your word. Let my life be a reflection of the election of God. Let our lives be totally surrendered and submitted to You and Your word and Your will, O God, tonight. Your purpose, Your plan, Your direction, Your call, Your assignment, O God. So, Father, we stir up the gift of God within us. Come on, just pray in the Holy Ghost right there. That's just the thought right there. It says, I'm just stirring up the gift of God. Come on, just pray direct. I'm stirring up the gift of God tonight. I'm stirring up the gift of God. I'm not going to let the gift of God be dormant or be stagnant. No, I'm stirring up the gift of God, the call of God, the assignment of God, the purpose of God. No, I'm not going to be silent. No. No, Brambarabessa, I'm going to stand, I'm going to speak, I'm going to proclaim. Probangere, I'm going to be used by God. No, Brambarabessa, it's not about me. Manamoson de la Brande. No, Manamasa, so I surrender, I submit, I yield. Come on, I yield tonight. I yield to the will of God. I yield to the Koramasan Jelebede. Oh, Vanamasan Gelema, come on, this is your time, this is your hour, this is your time. This is your season, the Holy Ghost has told us tonight. Sombanamasa, this is your time. Parabosote, the purpose of God. Koshambro koson delebeke. Chingale bro bro zogo delebo rambada banzanemene. Shombro koson de berebe. Kusole bete lebete kramanama, the purpose of God. Fiasa chakatale goro vro gubada ban giramana manandalandan din zon zon zonde. Zurabo korraba karrakasi delebe. Come on, shambareke. Come on, the purpose of God. The purpose of God. Site chikata karra ka papate ta frako pete da bete. Zumbo la bo banaman de la ban bramba ba ba pa. Fo fra 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 si kapara bata. Jo jo robo go zo ba bo son de le ben grangi ke singele be. Fro so ko robo ko shokoto ko si kaba. Son bo mo so ke. Young people, old people, all of us people. The purpose of God. The purpose of God. Shomboko sokite. Jesus, so me ama yanama sange. O la bogelebesa. We will not be frustrated. Come on, tonight, maybe you've been discouraged. Maybe you've listened to the words of others. The words of the accuser, the deceiver. Just shake yourself tonight. Just shake yourself tonight. Say, no, I'm done listening to that. I'm done listening to that. I'm not going to listen to that voice any longer. I will not. I refuse. I'm going to follow. I'm going to hear. I'm going to follow. I'm going to hear. I'm going to draw near to God. I'm going to get my wheel retrued again so I can run and I can go faster than I've ever been before. Check my life. I'm going to check myself and just make sure with the Word of God. I'm going to measure myself by the Word of God, not by others. Look at me, everybody. Again, forgive me for a cycling analogy. It's fresh in my life. Guys are amazing animals. I don't know how you ladies operate, but guys are amazing. guys, when they come together, most guys, unless, you know, saved guys, a little bit different. Most guys, they just want to, like, check everybody out. See what they drive up in. See what they look like. See what they're wearing. First question a guy asks another, what do you do for a living, right? What do you do? Really don't care about your family. What do you do? Cycling, all these guys that get together. Everybody is looking at everybody else's bicycle. What kind of gears you got? What kind of make is it? What kind of handlebars? Is that carbon? How much did you spend for those tires? Can I tell you? The bike is not the big deal. It's the bikey. It makes no difference what's going on around you, what it looks like everybody else is doing. It's the bikey. It's the believer. It's you. You can have what you say. You can have what you believe. You're going to move forward in the purpose God has for your life, regardless of what everybody else has or doesn't have. Amen? Real quick, a few scriptures. Let's pray tonight with these meetings coming up with Jay Hoskins. Can we do that? Come on, let's pray real quick. It says in Acts chapter 12, let me get there. It says that constant prayer, y'all remember that scripture? Acts 12:5, I think. Constant prayer was made by the church for Peter while he was in prison. Constant prayer. Amazing what happened as they were praying. The Bible says that his jail cell opened up. So tonight we're coming together corporately like this group of people come together and praying. And let's pray tonight that signs and wonders and miracles happen during these services. Can we do it? Maybe you want to walk and pray. Maybe you want to kneel and pray. Whatever you want to do, you can sit and pray. Let's just pray for about 10 minutes. You got 10 minutes? We're going to quit at 8:35. We're going to quit at 8:35. 10 minutes. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we come to you, oh Father, and we're so grateful for the purpose of God for these meetings. We're so grateful that this evangelist, Jay Hoskins, is going to be with us. Oh God, and we thank you that the gifts that accompany the ministry gift of evangelists be in operation, oh God. We pray that those that are lost will be saved. Oh, those that are lost will be saved. Oh, those that are distant will be found, oh God. We pray they'll be drawn near to your love and they'll see and sense your anointing love for them, oh God. Your heart that's open for them. Oh Father, we ask that first and foremost tonight that during these meetings the lost will be found. The wayward will become home, oh God. They hear the call of the Father God to come home. The prodigal son, the prodigal daughters come home. Families are saved, oh God. Children and children's ministry are saved because of the anointing of God in this room on this weekend specifically, oh God, we pray. Father, we pray that the gifts that accompany the office of the evangelist will be in operation. We pray, Father God, for signs and wonders and miracles. We pray for gifts of the Holy Ghost, Father God. Gifts of healing specifically be in manifestation. We pray there be no limit. We pray that you do unusual miracles, oh God. Oh, we pray, Father God, that every malady, every infirmity, every disease, Father God, submits its knee and bows to the name of Jesus in this place. That bodies are restored. Oh, pain is loosed and freed, oh God, in joints and ligaments and backs, oh God. Organs, Father God, we pray for creative miracles, oh God. Creative miracles. Creative miracles, oh God. We look to you. We draw near to you, oh God Almighty. We ask you to do unusual signs and wonders. Father God, demonstrations and manifestations and operations of the Spirit. Oh, in this room, Father. In this facility, oh, we pray that the atmosphere be charged with belief, oh God. Charged with just belief. And so call machete as we pray. Come on, a makala, light shines. Hope rises in people's hearts. where disease and pain has stripped hope from people and faith from people. Father God, that this room be a room of expectation, O God, of the supernatural and the supernatural power of God. Oh, Father, do spectacular things, but Father, do supernatural things. Things that eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard. Oh, makala ramasa, oshongolam rondebe, sumbolo brambaga. We lift up our eyes, we lift up our faith, we lift up expectation in this place, oh God. Oh, shampete kisandelebe, oh, yambang grando, jandelebo, songalebo, rabakara, shikadebete, surabo, solamonga, lamanda levaga. Come on, hook up with me tonight. Come on, hook up with me tonight. Come on, jail cells open. Jail cells meaning people's bodies changing tonight as we pray. Oh, just setting the stage for bodies to be changed. Oh, mayabake abaraki shodabe. Oh, ya ragazan delebe, la ramonamon deleban, jaramose, shumboso kodi basageleba, lo frokopese, supokote la boshon parabaha. Yamba, the breakthrough, oh God. We pray that the Messiah, the breaker, the Messiah, oh, you go up in this place, oh God. You break through, oh God. We go through every gate of authority, every demonic stronghold in people's lives, broken through, oh God, during these meetings. Nothing's impossible with you. Nothing's impossible, we believe, oh God, tonight. We believe, oh God, tonight. I am, Mashiko Lebahayake. Solo bo calabasi delle beghe, le bassin delle bovrane, le mosin dolopa, tropa cicata, socotorra, ches, catella, boravan delle brande, le besce, sciugolo, robo, sosa, bo, baram, 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 brombong, waves of glory. Come on, pray that waves of glory in this place. Just waves, come on, waves of glory, waves of the supernatural. Oh, waves of the supernatural. Oh, pakachikan makan mosomea. Waves like crashing down makashi in this place, oh God. Wave after wave. Akanamo solemana sigeleda kanama. Sonabarra gadiga sabarevehe. Sorabosa barabakaya badabe sakaba. Kobarakosa manaka. Yambarabasa karabadea. Korabagaja raburabo. Come on, let's be like the king that told, come on, like Elisha told the king to beat that ground with your arrow. Come on, let's just beat that ground again. Let's just thank you, Kombo Shobedeke. Let's just pray a little bit bolder. Let's just pray just a little bit longer. Poshamanama, Yopokoda Kasa. We ask you, we're pleading with you, oh God. Oh, Makasa, we're coming to you, oh God. We're hungry to see. We're hungry to experience. We're hungry to know the God that not only was, but is and is to come. The God of glory, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Oh, Lord God. Oh, tonight, oh God. Tonight, Meshangana. Oh, let the lion of the tribe of Judah roar in this room tonight. Let it roar during these meetings. Let the roar of the lion of the tribe of Judah just devakin and set you. Just expel, oh, every wicked thought, every wicked vow, every foul demonic stronghold. The voice of the Lord God. The voice of the Lord God. The voice of the Lord God. Oh, mashima la mosope, kasirebe kebio sope, sholabronga na mandele bakaya ba. We build up a highway tonight by prayer. Oh, we build up a highway, oh God. Oh, my God, we get out the rocks and the kind of the crooked places made straight. Oh, God, in prayer, in the spirit. So that freedom of, so there be a freedom of speech. Bear boldness, we pray, for Brother Jay to open his mouth boldly and speak what needs to be said, oh God, and a release to happen. Oh, my God, that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven for these meetings. Shakete la bossa tola be. Hoyamaya kasiye se afea. Oh, shabrange de besa. The glory of the Lord manifested. We pray the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord. Shimokosanama. Come on, lift your hands, everybody. Would you help me? Come on, we just ask you, Lord, for the glory of the Lord in these meetings. The presence of the Lord. Oh, Luke and Mark see the same account of you, Jesus, in the room. And Luke says the power of the Lord was present. Mark says the word was taught. So we thank you. As the word's taught in this place every Sunday, Wednesdays, when we're here. Specifically, Father God, during these meetings as we're praying. The presence of the Lord. is here. We pray the presence of the Lord means the person of the Lord is here through the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, tonight, we set ourselves in agreement. In agreement. Use us, O God. Use us as we set ourselves for these meetings. Use us in prayer. Stir us, Father, to pray again for these meetings and to give you thanks for your purpose. Stir us, O God, to be like the four people in Mark 2 that grabbed the paralyzed man and we burst a hole in the roof. We want to be those people. We want to be those people. So help us bring people across our path, the people that you're putting on our heart right now, who we need to bring, who they need to be in this meeting, who they need to see Jesus, who they need to experience healing and victory in their bodies. We're going to ask them. We're going to bring them. We're going to include them. We're going to include them. Father God, tonight, we count it an honor and a privilege to partner with you, to be laborers together with the Lord. Laborers. We labor in prayer, not laboring to cause you to do something, but laboring because there's opposition. That's why we pray. We want you to have your way. You clear our hearts, O God, concerning what's possible. What's possible? The blind to see, the lame to walk, the deaf to hear, the cancer and the tumors to leave bodies. It's possible. It's possible. It's possible for diabetes to leave and struggles and bodies and pain to be immediately vanished. It's possible. So we're saying we believe that. We believe that. We believe that. We don't want to hear about it somewhere else. We want to see it right here. Right here, Spectrum Church. We want to see it right here. We want to see it in the streets as we go. We want to see it right here on this July 5th Sunday. We thank you for hearing us. We thank you for answering us. And we believe we will see the glory of the Lord. Come on, say that with me. We believe we will see the glory of the Lord. We believe we will see the glory of the Lord. Father, it's been good to be with you tonight. Been good. Thank you for your purpose being our purpose. And we will not be frustrated and we will not be discouraged. And Father, again tonight, we say we will never quit. In Jesus' name. Can you say amen? Praise the Lord. Good night. Sorry, 836.